So we do record these. So we are in Proverbs chapter 24, and we will begin this evening in verse 23. The first one that we're working at, you'll notice that in we have finished our 30 sayings back in chapter 23 and chapter 22 and verse 17. Solomon says, "Hey, I've got 30 sayings I want you to know." So it took us through chapter 24 and verse 22 to actually get all 30 of those sayings. Now, as we're going to find out in the very opening statement, hey, I've got some more sayings that I found that I want to write down. And this goes on for several chapters. The end of 24 are these further sayings of the wise. But then in 25, we'll get to that, where King Hezekiah went back and actually found some more wise sayings. And it's interesting, of all of the Proverbs that we have gone through and all of the Proverbs that we have read up to this point, when we get to chapter 25, I actually remember some of these. My dad would teach an ethics class. And it wasn't really an ethics class, it was an etiquette class. He would teach how some of the students were invited to a nice meal put on by the school. And dad, you know, the purpose of the administrator who was sitting at that table would teach etiquette at the table and where you sit and how you sit and why you sit and all the things. So some of the things that he would cover, to put this out there, I was never good enough in high school, in school, period, to be allowed to go into any kind of dinner like this. I just got yelled at home for the lack of etiquette that I provided at the table at home. I was never privileged to go to those other events. My girls were. They were so good. They got Crystal's gene. So anyway, chapter 25, I don't know where I went, but chapter 25, King Hezekiah went back and his scribes found a whole bunch of other sayings that they really liked. But I think we'll identify with a lot of those that are in there.
Chapter
25. Yeah.
So I have a question. Yeah. So maybe we've already talked about this and I'm just reading, but Proverbs is more or less a book that Solomon wrote, and more just like, hey, here's a group of things Solomon said. Here's another group of things Solomon said. So really, it's not that, like, the 30 sayings were probably just 30 sayings that were collected. And then these next three verses from 23 to 34 were just another round of Proverbs they found in another place.
Yes, I completely agree with that. The way Proverbs kind of reads in some of these broken up sections, so we know that chapters 1 through 9 was a letter. So King Solomon wrote a letter in chapters 1 through 9. That was all about what he wanted the young men of Israel and the upcoming leaders to pay attention to listen to, and this is what he just wanted to communicate. From chapter 10 through chapter 22, when we began, it's as if he was sitting down and going, oh, this is a good thing. Write that down. Ooh, hey, that's another one. So we've called Proverbs kind of like a book of popcorn, right? Or Solomon on ADHD. And so the king, just because God made him wise, right? He asked not for riches, he asked for wisdom. God granted that privilege for him to be wise, but also brought along all the riches as well, right? So Solomon wrote down all of these wise things to talk about. When we get to chapter 22, when he says, hey, these are 30 sayings, I like to think of that as, all right, well, here's a whole bunch of things I wrote down. That's one journal, right? And then, you know what? These are the most important 30 things that I have talked about in all the 3,000 things that I've written. These are the 30 most important, right? So he wrote those down. That's another journal. Then we get to additional sayings. And these additional sayings were, you know, the guy over in Iran, he, or whatever it was called back then, that's a pretty wise saying. And I think I can take that and let's look at it from a godly perspective. And so now we have these further wise sayings from other cultures, right? And so that's another journal book, right? That's another journal that he wrote. And then you've got King Hezekiah in chapter 25, who found one of these, his scribes were going through the castle or the palace, and they found another journal that hadn't been written anywhere, and they're like, hey, King Solomon's dead, but we found another one of these hidden journals that he had, the lost journals. Let's open that up and write down. That's the way I like to think of Proverbs, because some of these, I mean, because it is, it's just a giant book of popcorn, and then all of a sudden we already repeated that. Well, we already said that. Well, we already talked about that, right? And then when we get down into, and we're just a few chapters away from the end. We're the end is in sight, ish. And so when we get down to chapter 30, that's sayings of Augur, and then we get down to chapter 31, which that's everything about a beautiful woman, right? A godly woman. And it's really King, the commentary and the scholars believe that King Solomon actually wrote that, and that was his, you know, every mother calls their son something, right? Whether it's their actual name or if it's a pet name or hey kiddo or whatever the word was. Well, Lemuel was, the scholars believe that that was the name that Bathsheba called King Solomon, right? So that was his nickname, pet name from mom, right? And so he wrote this about what a godly woman looks like, and but he took the book of Proverbs chapter 31 is basically an acrostic. Acrostic would be if they took every letter in the Hebrew alphabet and they did alpha and then the, you know, omega at the end, from alpha to omega, all of the Greek alphabet or all of the Hebrew alphabet, each letter meant something, and that's what each verse is describing, you know, starting with that letter. So what we would do is say, hey, I want to write a letter about my mom or what a beautiful woman looks like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? And theirs goes alpha something 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 something, because I don't know Hebrew. So that's kind of the way that works in chapter 31, okay? So it's kind of an acrostic and a description, but we're really close. We're really close. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
A long time ago I did, probably. Shut up and start reading, right?
Hey, we can always go back to chapter 1.
No, no. That's a long way back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. I didn't know if this was, I guess this is more written by Solomon, organized by others, in a sense.
More or less, yeah. Solomon, because I like to think of it as,
there's so much repeating, I'm kind of like, not that it's, each verse is individual, and I'm not trying to say it's flawed in any way, but there are a lot of verses that are saying the same exact thing over and over again.
Or similar
things. So that's where I was kind of like, maybe Solomon, you know, wrote this down. Oh, here's, I mean, the same way the Bible was written. We're just finding this document, yeah, everything like that. That's, you know, how we transcribe everything.
Yeah, I like to look at it as a whole bunch of, he was a journaler. My dad journaled later in life. I don't have them, but I know that when we went on, so we went on a trip to Isle Royale National Park. Dad was journaling every night. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know what he was writing, but he was journaling something every night. I tried that. It didn't work out for me. Tried to go fishing. It rained. And that's as far as I got because I fell asleep.
So Tim and I were talking about how we felt like, oh my gosh, he's repeating the same thing over and over again. Or wait a minute, he said it here this way, this one time, and you know, five verses later, he says something, but he tweaks it a little bit or whatever. And I said, you know, I said, we get tired of that sometimes, but I'm like, God really had a purpose in that, right. I think, because he knew all of the things that were going, how many times does he have to put, how many verses does he have to put in here about this, whatever. He knew all of these things were going to be things that we struggled in our life with, and we were going, we needed to hear it more than just one verse. If we had one verse on fear, one verse on, you know, scorners, one verse, we would not pay attention. It, you know, we would. So we had a big old discussion about that, because I was like, yeah, he's got a purpose in this, even though we're all going, ugh, how many times does he have to say this? Right. I feel like
he's going, ugh, how many times do they have to hear it?
Yeah.
Exactly. He knew that we were going to need to hear it over and over and over again, that it's going to be that much of a struggle in the earthly realm.
The Hebrew language, aesthetically, when they would write things, in importance, they were very repetitive.
Yeah.
To stress importance.
Yeah.
So if Solomon, the most wise man ever, is saying something over and over and over again, it's obviously very important that you get it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that, we can actually begin in chapter 24, verse 23,
okay,
because we actually come across something that we've already listened to several chapters away, but now we have a different perspective that we can talk about this, right? Especially with what we've just said. So I will begin. He goes, these are also sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, peoples will curse him and nations denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. So chapter 24, verses 23 through 25 is an also saying, right? And so what are we talking about here? What's Solomon trying to describe for us? That, again, we've talked about this before, but what's the importance of it?
Holding people accountable.
Holding people accountable, right? And being willing to convict them, right? Point out the guilty. Point out the problem. Don't just whitewash it and walk away.
What's whitewash it?
Cover it. Sweep it under the rug.
Never heard that before.
Whitewashing used to be, you know, where they'd make the picket fence pretty. Back in the old days, they would take a whitewash and wash it nice and white, so you didn't see all the ugly anymore.
Oh.
But it didn't last very long.
But it didn't last very long. It rains, it falls right off.
Mm-hmm.
It was a temporary pretty. Anything else you want to glean out of these verses here?
I think you can just take it a step further, just kind of be on, like, make sure you're, I guess, aware of what judgments are happening around you. You know, don't let those who are allowing the guilty to get away with it get away with it. That's
right.
Why we need to, you know, stay informed of what's happening around you. Because there are people that are going to do this.
But we have people today, ironically, doing this today, right? Oh, hey, they're guilty. Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see that on the news. We read it in the paper or whatever you read for news. We see that today. We're actually doing that. Some 5,000 years ago, King Solomon said, that's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken us a long time to learn that one.
Oh, some have to catch the innocent ones thinking they're guilty, but they're really not.
Right. What do you think about the end of it? It says, but it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. What's the blessing?
Well,
Trustworthy. Yeah. That's a blessing. So almost attributes, yes?
I was going to say, I mean, the obvious thing is you convict a murderer, and there's one less murderer that's going to murder you, or possibly hang it. I mean,
right. Yeah. Interesting.
Excusing bad behavior.
Yeah.
Is not a good thing.
Yeah. So what categories then can we assign verses 23 through 25? What categories can we assign those to?
Truth.
Truth. Good.
You can't handle it though.
Righteous.
Righteous.
Accountability.
Accountability.
Sovereign God.
Good.
Honor, truth.
Yeah, honor. Did you say self-control?
Yeah.
Did you say obedience? Yep. We said honor.
Anybody say judgment or justice?
They haven't yet.
No, but that's a good one.
Justice.
Very good. So the other part of this, if you would like to read, you may read. If you don't, just pass the turtle.
Are you turning up on the turtle club?
And what we would read next is just verse 26.
He who gives a right answer kisses the lips.
Okay. How you feel about that, Ian? You don't want to give a right answer? I'm not kissing anybody's lips.
Ask a girl
to
kiss her. That's the right answer.
The right answer. So the NIV uses a little word like. So I didn't hear that word when you read that, Aaron. When you read that, could you read that again?
He who gives a right answer kisses the lips.
Okay. So, that's a great description. The NIV adds the word, he who gives a right answer is, it's like a kiss on the lips.
Yeah, I read out of the New King James.
Yeah, and that's good. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
We love all the versions.
I was going to say, we love all the versions.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to make a clarification there so that we understand what we're comparing to, right?
Mine in verse 2 says, when's...
26.
When's the hearts of people.
When's the hearts of people. Okay.
What does the old version say?
An honest answer is a true sign of friendship, and lips that are honest deserve to be kissed.
You hear that?
And I just wonder, are there any cultural things about kissing from that era that would have any impact on how we interpret that? I mean, I know when you watch things on TV, they're constantly kissing to say hello or goodbye or...
Yeah.
Greet each other with a blessing.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do in the heavenly kingdom.
Yeah, greet each other with a kiss. When I read this, and as I read through the commentaries, I read it this way: an honest answer is like an honest answer is beautiful. An honest answer is simple. An honest answer is nice. When I take the opportunity to take Chris kiss her, Crystal, on the lips, I'm a little uncomfortable. When I kiss her on the lips, it's nice. It's beautiful. It's not real smooth, but you know. But Yeah, I mean, it's a good, so almost like it's a good feeling, right? Even when we're kids and we kiss the next door neighbor, you know, because we're not supposed to, but we do. I did. Well, anyway, so it's tingly, right? It's a good feeling. An honest answer is just as sweet. You know, to kiss her on the lips and give her say, I love you, that's a sweet thing to do. That's the way I read that. An honest answer is something very pure of heart and very innocent and very
genuine.
And, you know, a kiss on the lips is certainly genuine. You know, we can make a whole lot more out of it, but it could just be something very sweet and innocent and caring and just all of it, right? Intimate. Almost like an honest answer is intimate. It's truth. An honest, truthful answer is there's no ambiguity. There's no fence that you got to jump over. It's just there, right? My grandson, here's a great example. My grandson looked at me the other day. I don't normally wear my ring. Well, I recently started wearing my ring after 20 years. And he looked at me and he goes, Papa, why do you have a necklace on your finger? I'm like, okay. I said, well, it's a ring. He goes, why? I said, because I'm married to Mamaw. Immediately, they ran into Mamaw, both of them. And both of them asked her, do you have a necklace on your finger? Right? Very innocent and very clear. And then they found out it's because we love each other. And they went, the boys just looked at each other and they looked back at me and they go, Papa, why? I said, because I love her. They go, well, Papa, you'll be okay. It was sweet, right? It was an honest answer. In their mind, that's as far as it got, right? But, you know, it's fun. A sweet, honest answer. That's kind of the way I looked at that.
I like what the Passion Translation says. It says speaking honestly is a sign of true friendship.
Yeah, there you go. True friendship. Speaking honestly. Someone asked me today what I thought of the tie selection that they had made for a wedding. And I told her, no. It was her wedding. She's like, don't you like this tie? I'm like, no. That's no. Right? We laughed about it.
But...
yeah, do you want the sugar-coated version or do you want honesty? So, what categories can we assign verse 26?
Truth.
Good.
Goodness.
Like yep. Just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just the.
So,
yep.
What did you say, Rachel?
Goodness.
Lips.
Good.
How'd you know that?
Can it bring joy? I don't know. I think kissing kind of joyful.
Yeah, when you find out the truth, when somebody comes up and tells you the truth, it's like,
yeah.
Oh. Whether or not it was the answer you wanted, yeah. You still feel joy because you know the truth.
And you're like,
almost like relief.
Yeah, a relief. It's, yeah, I like that.
Would it be kindness? Kindness to hear the truth?
Yeah.
What about love?
Yeah, sometimes you got to speak the truth in love, don't you?
Mm-hmm. What about mm-hmm. You got to speak the truth to hold them accountable too?
Yep, accountability.
And when they feel the truth, they can be humility too.
Humility to accept the truth.
And if they don't accept it, would that be pride too?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think being honest is having good self-control.
Good. Yeah. Self-control.
Like to be self-controlled with honesty.
Oh, peace.
There you go. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on over to verse 27.
First, get your fields ready, next, plant your crops, and then build your house.
Okay.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Let's talk about it.
Turtle catch.
Oh, my.
Is it challenging?
So,
you have to do with planning?
Planning? Yes. Planning.
You have to have some crops before, I guess, you have your money to build a house.
Correct. Or think about it this way. Let's think about homesteading. Right? So now we just buy houses, right? But the settlers in the United States, when they came across and they settled an area, they would typically move in the early spring. They wouldn't move in the fall because that's terrible weather. And they wouldn't move late spring because then all of a sudden they missed opportunities, right? So when they come in the early spring and they move and they get there or midsummer or whatever it is, they need to do their outside work as quickly as possible so that once they get their food or their plants in the ground, the seeds in the ground, so it can grow. While that's growing, they can go over here next and get some firewood and then get some logs and build a shelter, right? So it's the order of things that you have to do and to plan those things so that you can be protected. You know, it's a lot easier right now in the weather that we have right now to be out there planting all day and sleep under the stars. But in the wintertime, we don't want to be sleeping under the stars, so we need to get our fields planted so that we have something we can harvest in the fall. And while it's growing, we then can build our house. Then we can start working on firewood. Then we can start, see, there's an order of things. And some, and if we extrapolate that, how do we apply that to our life now? What are the order of things that we need to be looking at?
Planning all the things that are necessary first.
Correct.
You don't go out and buy an iPhone if you can't see the kids.
Right.
People there are now.
You just get that from government.
It's like you should focus on your career first, like having a sustainable income.
There.
So that way, when you go to start your family, you build your home, you have needs to provide.
Correct.
So you should, like, there's an order to things.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good order, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does God like order?
Yeah.
God, by definition, is order.
God, by definition, is order, isn't he? Yeah.
Kind of weird that they make people with no place to put them.
Yeah, right? Oh, hey, let's make man in our own image. Where are we going to put him? Right? Right?
I got water?
What? Nothing caught God by surprise, right? So what categories can we assign this verse?
Instruction.
Instruction. Good.
Money.
Money. There is an order to things.
Diligent workers.
Diligent workers.
I think it's important that you produce before you can consume.
Producing before you consume. What about counsel? That's a pretty wise counsel thing to think about. Plans, path. So plans, that's in section number 5 there. The sections are there just for easy convenience of finding something, not necessarily that it's actually a section. And then also you said plans and path, you said?
Yep.
Self-control.
Self-control. Very good. Commitment? Yeah, definitely.
Well, hello there, stranger.
It's me. It's not a brother.
All right, so verses 28 and 29 are the next saying.
Ooh, we get a Tom version.
Ooh. Don't testify against your neighbor unless you must do so in court. Never say things with your neighbor that are not true. Don't say, I'll get even with my neighbor and repay him for what he has done and repay him for what he has done to me.
Okay. Give me the short answer of this. What is this?
The golden rule.
What'd you say?
The golden rule.
The golden rule? Be nice to others?
Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut. Which golden rule are we going after?
Well, there's a 24 here. There's a 14 here.
What else?
It's talking about revenge.
Yeah. I'll get you back.
I'll get you back, yeah.
I'll get even.
It's kind of like the same when people say, oh, karma will get you, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't need to worry about that. Uh-huh. God says we spend... Solomon points out here that don't do that. But why don't we do that? What's the reason we don't do that?
God is the one who is not revenge, but birth word. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
Very good.
Even in the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, it's one of the chapters. I can't remember what chapter, but I remember the story. He's telling somebody to turn the other cheek and walk away. So that's what God wants us to do. Because if we come to ourselves, if we're arguing. If somebody knows that we're right, we're just being pride for ourselves, because that takes a lot of pride just to argue with somebody. If you know you're right, that's just saying get into you. Like, oh, you know you're right, you gotta get them back. That's just being prideful.
Right.
What God wants us to do is what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, turn your other cheek and walk away, because you're better than that. In John 15. Yeah, and they try to get you in your head too. People try to get you in your head and like try to get you to argue, try to get you to blow up and like argue and say stuff you don't really mean. Say stuff and you have to look back on it and look, man, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't.
So in verse 28, how would we summarize verse 28 in just a few words?
Not bear false witness.
False witness? What's another word for that?
Lying.
Don't be vengeful.
Vengeful. Gossip.
Backbiting.
Backbiting.
All of which are sin.
All of which is sin.
What is backbiting?
Talking about someone behind their back. It's like they bit you on the back.
Okay.
Like a dog coming up and biting you when your back's turned.
So like they've been nice to your face and then chill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot tonight.
That's good.
All right, so what categories, verses 28 and 29, what categories can we assign these to?
Self-control.
Self-control. That's good.
Yeah, wow. What about prideful?
Pride.
Neighbors.
That's a good one. Down at the bottom where it says compassionate. What do you think about that?
It's a good one.
Oh,
How does being compassionate fit with these verses?
You're not paying back out the dollar that they've done to you.
Yep.
I think it's just it's looking for people who are being wronged and communicating that to others, those without voices.
Right. Those without voices.
Interceding.
Interceding. Good.
Discernment.
Yeah, definitely.
Just having good discernment with making those calls about people.
Yeah.
Discernment to not participate when somebody else is doing it as well. That falls in there, which I'm sure we've all been in that situation, unfortunately. Right.
Yeah, wisdom. We could write wisdom on there. Very first one on the list.
Wise.
We could also we can also add it to mercy or forgiveness. And forgiveness.
As the right end?
On the right ends, yep. Mercy.
Mercy, forgiveness.
Mercy is down in the bottom.
And then forgiveness down at the bottom. I asked the question earlier, why does Solomon point out that we don't need to be being vengeful and things like that? And the answer, the good answer is that God will take care of that for us. Let me ask you the question a different way. What does it do to you mentally when you focus all of your energy and effort in that one person that you need to get back at?
Kind of starts to eat your lunch, man.
Yeah.
You know, it consumes.
It takes up all your energy. It's very exhausting.
Plus, that makes you look bad if you're not at a workplace or something like that, only out in public, and someone gets you out in public, and then you're like, oh, I gotta get you back for that. And it kind of makes you look bad, too. And mentally, it puts a lot of bad thoughts in your head that you really don't mean, but really, it's just like,
yeah. Works you up
and stress, and stress will kill you.
Pretty much.
It hurts you more than it hurts them.
Starters. It's like the ultimate version of consuming.
Yeah.
Consuming you. Whether it's like Aaron was saying, you know, it takes over your mind physically. It, you know, you get stressed. It's emotional, physical. Spiritual. It totally takes your focus off of the Lord because you're, you know, focused on this other thing or this person. It's
so in Ephesians, and I go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I mean, we all love the sin at the end of the day. That's one of the flaws of us. I mean, you don't got to look very far at, you know, all the blockbuster films to understand our love for destruction, you know, all the revenge action tales, stuff like that. It's we crave that righteous revenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's just part of us. I mean, it's not even, you know, it's obviously not righteous, but, you know, we love.
You air quoted it.
Yeah. I make sure I get it out of there.
Air quote righteous.
Proverbs 16:28, for example, a perverse man spreads strife and gossip, separates close friends. The book also emphasizes the importance of keeping a silent tongue and avoiding those who habitually gossip.
There you go. Yeah. The book of Ephesians tells us to forgive one another, right? And it's very interesting about that it doesn't qualify when we are to forgive. In fact, what Paul tells us to do is if you are offended, you need to forgive them.
That's in Colossians.
In your own, between you and God, you need to take that and forgive them. Before they ever ask, before you ever have a conversation with them about it, he says, and it's because of this proverb right here, don't be consumed with all the things they've done terrible to you. You need to forgive one another before they ask, before you talk to them. It is between you and God so that you can stand and go, I can breathe, right? I am in a good mental state, right? An awful lot of the things that we've talked about in Proverbs, we don't really apply to mental health. I wish Hannah was here or Allie was here, because I know that they would make those connections, right?
We're not good enough.
Oh, you guys are great. Only because it's in their field.
A little bit.
Right. I have a lot of... But anyway. So I just find it very interesting that when we take the conversation just a little bit further, all of these proverbs are about our mental health, our ability to deal with the day-to-day. So it's more than, you know, because we hear it repeated, it gets old and it's boring and it's whatever, and we're 24 chapters in, wait, we haven't skipped 25 yet, 24 chapters in, and we're just, are we done yet? Right? Because that's the way it feels. But at the same time, all of these are about our mental health. It's about having a good attitude. It's about, how do I keep the good attitude? How can I not focus on their silliness and just focus on my relationship with God and how I'm going to deal with them? And how I'm going to deal with them is outlined in Proverbs, that sometimes they just need to be here at arm's length. And my conversation with between me and God is right. That arm's length is forgiveness that I've granted, but I know that for me, I need to leave them there and I stay here. Right? That's what this is about. Not just the vengeance part and not just the other part of it. It's about our health, right?
So you said, and when you talk about forgiveness, I always think of Colossians 3:13. Don't be angry with each other, but forgive one another. If you feel someone has wronged you, forgive them. Forgive others because the Lord forgave you. Together with all these things, the most important part of your new life is to love each other. Love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. Let peace that Christ gives control your thinking. It is for peace that you were chosen to be together in one body and always be thankful.
That's right.
That's what I always think of when that, it made me think of Colossians 3, because Paul talks about forgive. If someone wronged you, just forgive them anyway, because the Lord Jesus Christ forgave you, and just love them anyway.
Yeah.
And love holds everything, like you said, love holds everything together.
Very good. So, we will finish the chapter tonight. Verses 30 through 34 will take us to the end of chapter 24. And then I guess next week we'll get to Hezekiah. So verses 30 to 34, let's finish the chapter.
Yes. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man.
What are we talking about? Laziness. Right?
I like that. It mentions like 30:31 talks about like the plants are like I guess something that you, it talks about plants, but then also stones. I think it's kind of like laziness isn't, you know, it's not something that like it's just kind of a small effect, but it can corrode very foundational parts of your life. No foundation, nothing to rest on, but also just the small things. It's not like you're just, oh, I don't want to go to work today kind of thing. It can upend your life. Or
good.
The consequences will sneak up on you and before you're even aware of it.
Yeah. Consequences sneak up. How long does it take for the weeds and nettles to grow?
Not very long.
Not long.
Not very long.
Our front flower bed has six flowers in it, and it has actually eight flowers in it, and the rest of it is all weeds. I haven't weeded it yet. Yeah. I haven't weeded it yet. Crystal and I just talked about it today, but the weeds are up to my knees.
Ooh.
That didn't take long, did it? It's May.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not like I planted the weeds there in the first place, even. You know, so I mean, that's, you know, from a lazy person perspective, you know.
Yeah.
Aren't the weeds like sin? It's always there.
It's always there. It's always there. Yeah. Sin is always there.
The good things, not, you know,
kind of like that parable. Weeding out the bad. Good soil and a bad soil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, follow. Try to plant the good soil. Something like that.
Good. And you were going to say?
So this, I know it's a little late, but so 30 all the way to 34, it's just about being a lazy man, lazy person in general. And that gets you nowhere, right?
Like, gets you nowhere.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea here is that as this person was on a walk, you might imagine Solomon was on a walk, and as he was walking by, he saw the beautiful gardens that he had and all the people that were working in them, and then he passed a house just down the street that the grass was really tall, the nettles. I think her version says the nettles. Nettles are thorns, the thistles,
yeah.
Right? The plants that have stickers on them that hurt when you walk in them with bare feet, and that's why you don't walk tall grass with bare feet.
Yeah,
and then they have, you know, all of these weeds that are all over the place, and it's just very unkept. Well, now all of a sudden it's unmanageable, right? He can't. And to Margie's point, it crept up on him just sitting back. In the very last part of it, he said, well, I'm a little sleep. He said, what I learned was, in verse 33, a little sleep, I'm not feeling good right now, I'm just going to rest. A little slumber, I'm just going to sit back just a little bit further. And a little bit of folding my hands on my stomach and just sit there and listen to the game and just... Okay, fall asleep.
I'm starting to get it now.
That's the picture that we're creating, right?
It's like a little story.
A little story. Yep. Yep.
I smell like you want to get up in the morning and you got to get up for work and you're like, I'm okay, I can sleep a little bit. And then you sleep a little bit and you sleep. Pretty much you wake up and you're like, oh, hey.
Yeah, right? And then you end up with, in the very end, it is the poverty came in like a bandit. Very quietly and snuck in and stole everything that all of the good that could have come from your property is bad now, right? You have an awful lot of work to redo to make it profitable.
And I think the little part, chapter 33, verse 33, it takes so little laziness for things to get really out of hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Not a lot of laziness, a little bit of laziness.
Just a little bit. Yeah, like our front flower bed. I haven't gone out to clean it, and I've neglected it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, it didn't look that way.
No.
I just didn't get out there and weed it.
Didn't get that tall after 3 weeks. They got that. They started growing like in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And not only that, they get deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll come back.
Yeah. I think you can compare this to like your Christian life, or like you know, or maybe more so like people who are. Like agnostic, who very well believe there is a God, but they just don't want to, you know, put their foot down and go towards that. Or as a Christian, you're always watching. Other believers, and they're doing better in their faith. Like, I'm not going to join a Bible study right now. I'm not going to do this right now. And next thing you know, your life passes by you, and you. You know, if you're saved, maybe, but you're not, you have nothing to show for your faith. You're not, you haven't forwarded God's kingdom at all in your life.
Right.
God has given us one ticket to punch, you know. What are you going to do with it? You know, we've been given a gift.
Yeah. Use it.
You kick butt, get it down.
Yeah.
You just go by fast.
I don't think it's ironic that he uses the vine, the vineyard, and then the thorns, because I was looking at the parable of the sower. It's talking about the thorns being the cares of the world and all those things and choking out your relationship with God. And it just kind of made me think of drunkenness, and that the guy got caught up in all the other things in the world, and it wasn't. And then it also made me think of the 15th chapter of John, because they used to vineyard, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And you have to bear, you know, prune the fruit so you can bear more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And like not taking care of those things. That was just where I kind of went to in my head. You know
yeah.
I mean? But,
good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very good.
I just don't think it was ironic that he used that, like the vineyard, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because it's also a very lucrative trade back then.
Definitely.
You got a vineyard. You know what I mean? It was very lucrative for people.
Yeah, you were either making a wine or you were making olive oil,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Or you were doing oranges.
Yeah. Orange glass.
Yeah, orange glass.
A vineyard would have taken more work, though, to tend to with just, it's abiding fruit. You need to manage it.
It's a very manual, yes.
What about the very end? It says you shall your body become like a fowl, and your knees like an armed man. It kind of like alluded me, like your knees like an armed man.
So in the NIV, it uses the property will come. Your poverty will come on to you like a bandit. So sneaking up. And then the end, the scarcity, like an armed man.
I need help,
and I have an, you know, someone who has a firearm standing. He's armed. Gotcha. I'm disarmed. Okay. I'm not prepared. I'm not even ready.
Gotcha.
And now all of a sudden,
thank you.
Oh, now what?
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
I really like that, because you like said something earlier that made me think of a quote I heard this week that said. People like to say, life is short, enjoy it. But we should respond, eternity is long, be prepared.
Yeah.
And Jesus is coming quickly. Like that, like you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. So as we reflect on what we've kind of written down on our page tonight and all the little categories that we've been in, where did we land, and what have we learned tonight? If anything, I should have stayed home and took a nap, right?
We talked a lot about honor.
Honor, yeah, we did. We haven't assigned the categories here, did we?
30
and 34
now.
So real quick, let's assign the categories for verses 30 through 34.
Accountability.
And I did duty right along with it, too.
Yep. Duty?
Duty.
What is that?
Duty.
What is that?
She said duty. It's a write-in.
D-U-T-Y.
She did say duty.
We have that, you know, the neglect of the duty. Yes, I said the word again.
It's a write-in.
It's a write-in, yeah.
Any other categories that you would pick?
Thieves and sluggards.
Thieves and sluggards, poor and needy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, where's that one?
What's that?
It's a write-in.
Oh, integrity.
Integrity?
Right. It is. Yep, I do have that written in already. Yeah.
How about illusion?
Illusion, good job.
Yeah. That's always a good one.
Commitment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Excuses.
It's definitely.
So, write in excuses. Instruction. If anything, this would give us instruction on what not to do, right? Do what? Yeah, to be a diligent worker, you would not want to be doing that.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. All right, so as we've looked, any other thoughts for the evening?
Relationships are messy. And we can certainly get off track really quickly with the simplest of things if we don't have our mind on the Lord and how He wants us to treat people and function.
Yeah. Interestingly, this final example, verses 30 through 34, it's not necessarily about our flower garden and our weeds and the plants. It's also about the things that go on in our life, right? And we can't be lazy about the things in our life, even for a split second, because then things can begin to take our eyes off of Christ for just a moment, and things can go sideways. That, at least that's my experience in my life, for what it's worth.
I think it's made me think about accountability and being connected to the body and having wise counsel.
Yeah.
I can hear the brothers in church were talking about that the other day, how like some of the younger generations are pride themselves on being so independent, and it's hard to tell them things, and they don't look to the other statesmen to know that they've already been there and they can help them avoid things. Mm-hmm. Rather than having that reverence for our elder statesmen.
Yeah. I go to my elders all the time.
It's good. Well, let's close on a word of prayer, and then we'll call it a night. Thank you for coming this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing King Solomon to teach us. Thank you for encouraging us to be accountable. Thank you for encouraging us to be honorable, to have integrity. Thank you for showing us how to do it and giving us examples throughout this vast book of just things of what to do and what not to do and how to do it and this and that and whatever. We thank you, Lord. You are certainly a God who shows you love us more and more every day as we read and we consider what's going on in the world and in our own life. Lord, protect us. Put your hand of encouragement around us. Allow us to continue to be lights that shine for you. And Lord, give us courage to encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.